Lord Chaitanya continued, within your heart, you should keep yourself very faithful, but externally, you may behave like an ordinary man. Thus, Krishna will soon be very pleased and deliver you from the clutches of Maya. Lord Chaitanya is teaching something very important. Vrindavana dahi yabe asibe nila chale tabe tume ame pase asiha kona chale. You may see me at Nila Chala, Jagannath Puri, when I return after visiting Vrindavan. At that time, you can think of some trick to escape. 20, text 241. Sachale sakale Krishna spurabhi tumare Krishna kripa yanhatare ke rakite pare. What kind of means will you have to use at that time will be revealed by Krishna. If one has Krishna's mercy, no one can check him. One has Krishna's mercy, no one can check him. Only Krishna. But then he gives his mercy and then he doesn't check you after that. And then he gives you more mercy. Purport. Although Srila Raghunath Das was very anxious to join Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord advised him to wait for the mercy of Lord Krishna. He recommended that Raghunath Das keep his Krishna consciousness firmly fixed in his heart while externally behaving like an ordinary man. This is a trick for everyone advanced in Krishna consciousness. One can live in society like an ordinary human being, but at the same time, one's own business should be to satisfy Krishna and to spread his glories. A Krishna-conscious person should not be absorbed in material things, for his only business is devotional service to the Lord. If one is engaged in this way, Krishna will certainly bestow his mercy. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised Raghunath Das, yata yogya visayam buje anashakta hana. The same is repeated, antare nishtakara bahye loka vyavahara. This means that one must have no desire within his heart other than to serve Krishna. On the basis of such conviction, one can cultivate Krishna consciousness. This is confirmed in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.200. Laukiki vadiki vyapiya kriya kriyate mune. Hari seva nu kulavai sakare bhaktim ichchata. A devotee may act as an ordinary human being or as a strict follower of Vedic injunctions. In either case, everything he does is favorable for the advancement of devotional service because he is Krishna conscious. Om gyan timidandasya gina jina salakaya Chaksu unmilitam yena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaudavani Pacharine. Nirvasesa Sunyavari Prastyatya De Satarine. Vancha Kalpa Taruvischa. Kripa Sindhu Pevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaho Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasari Gaur Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Lord Raghunath Das Goswami really was eager to join Lord Chaitanya right away, but the Lord said it wasn't right. Stay with your parents, take care of them, and then Krishna will make the arrangements at the right time. But do not let them suspect your devotion, so keep it hidden within your heart. And act like an ordinary boy within the family and follow whatever they give you. And that way they'll never understand that someday you will escape and come and join me. That was Lord Chaitanya's instructions. So it's a very interesting point he makes, and such as that when we have to interact with the ordinary people of this world, we present ourselves in a social etiquette that is somewhat conducive to the behavior of normal people within that environment. But in our heart, we're thinking something different, we're feeling something different. We're remembering Krishna, we're remembering our relationship with Krishna. Even though externally it's one thing, internally it's the reality, because Krishna consciousness is internal, but it may manifest externally. But one sometimes has to use some charade or some covering so ordinary people don't become disturbed or, what we say, critical or bewildered. If you're dancing in ecstasy while you're shopping in Costco, then it might be a problem. They might think, send them off to the nut house, So, but they won't understand. So in order to keep that etiquette proper, we have to externally, but amongst devotees, then we're different. We behave like we normally behave, that is, we exhibit our Krishna consciousness externally. So here is just a little bit of a advice on how to live in this world and at the same time not be worldly. Because if we sort of kowtow to the ordinary ways of people and think that this is okay, not keeping Krishna within your heart, then somehow it'll affect your consciousness, and then you'll start thinking and acting in an ordinary way, which is really contrary to our actual devotional service. So we have to be careful. It's like being on a stage. You have to act in one way, but you have to know who you are in another way. We act according to the rules and regulations of society just so we can carry out our business without any disturbances. But at the same time, we are not part of that society. It's like you have to, as Christ said, you have to be in the world, but not of the world. So in that way, we live in happily and somewhat free from the influence of external energy. Because if we start behaving like them and thinking that is the standard, we do it as a way simply to carry on our business, but we know who we are. We've been given the special mercy of the spiritual master who's brought us to the platform of pure devotional service. And now that seed has been planted in the heart, and it grows in the association of devotees and by hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. But in the worldly sense, we have to somehow play the role, but at the same time, not play the role. Play the role externally, but internally, we are thinking. Prabhupada gives the example. Sometimes devotees ask the question, I have so many material duties, and, but I can't get out of them. It's my responsibilities. But I'm a devotee, and I don't really enjoy doing these material duties, but there's no, recourse. I'm obligated at least this time in my life. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives a nice formula. It's really interesting. He says it's like being in a family with a husband. The wife, she has a lover, but she has a husband. In order for her husband not to suspect her lover, she serves her husband very nicely. But in her heart, she's always thinking, when can I go to see my lover? So in the same way, we live like that in this world. We keep Krishna heart, and we always think, when can I be with the devotees? When can I be chanting the holy names? When can I be, associating with devotees and discussing transcendental knowledge? In other words, the process of bhakti. So that becomes strong. And when that becomes strong enough, so what Lord Chaitanya is telling him, you keep doing that, and at one point you won't be able to stay in the family any longer. And that, at that time, Krishna will come and he'll show you how to break it. And this is the same for us. When we play the role, but after some time, our bhakti grows more and more, and we just think, I want to be one of the devotees. I want to chant, dance, take prasadam, discuss philosophy, see the beautiful form of Radha Gokula Nanda, and this is life. It's what we're preparing ourselves for our future by creating the consciousness now of Krishna consciousness completely. Then when that becomes full and you can't stand to live in this world anymore, then Krishna says, choo, okay, you're back. He pulls you up by the sika, the ladies, he grabs their ponytail if they have one. If not, he figures out, he sends Lakshmi or Radharani to escort you very nicely. The girls get a nice trip back. The men, they get forcibly pulled back anyway. That's what this thing is for. Yeah, that we used to ask that. Prabhupada said, yeah, so Krishna can grab it and just pull you like that. So you wonder why we have this funny little hair tuft in the back there. That's what it's for. It's just so you can get a quicker trip back to the spiritual world. So, and what it's important to understand what Lord Chaitanya is saying. At one point, Krishna will show his mercy. That means when you're ready to break that. When you're ready to break. If there's any tinge of material desire left, then we're not ready. And that's what Lord Chaitanya is saying yet. Although you want to come with me, you're not completely pure yet. So increase your bhakti to the point where it overshadows all of your desires for any kind of material happiness. Raghunath Das Goswami, what was his situation? His parents, his father, what was his name? Manju Mujari, his name is Govardhan Mandu Mujari, and his uncle was Jagadish Mandu Mujari. They were as wealthy as Indra, almost. They were billionaires by today's standard. They were working for the government. They were tax collectors, and they would keep a large portion of their taxes as their actual salary. And they were so wealthy. And Raghunath was the only son. He was the only son. And he would try to escape, and then his parents had arranged for 11 guards. 11 guards to keep him under surveillance so he wouldn't break away. So he was always being watched like that. So, but still, he would take an opportunity to go, and then they would catch him and bring him back. So this happened many times. So his mother said to his father, tie him up. And his father said, you foolish lady, he's got a wife more beautiful than an angel. If that doesn't tie him up, what will ropes do? So she, you know, he couldn't be tied up. His wife was like the, you know, perfect ideal. She had all good qualities, served her husband nice. She was a picturesque of ultimate beauty and charm. Still, he didn't have any attraction for it. That's the power of Krishna consciousness. Krishna will sometimes tempt you just to see what is the stage of your Krishna consciousness. He'll offer you something very nice materially just to see if you still have any attachment for these things. There was one very senior devotee in our movement. His father was quite wealthy, and when he first joined the Hare Krishna movement, his father was a very big judge in a court. He was a magistrate, chief judge. So he offered his son $1 million if he would not, you know, join the Hare Krishnas. But he rejected it and joined the Hare Krishnas. Then after many years of serving, His father and mother came to see Prabhupada and their son. They were in Bombay. It was during the time of the building of the Bombay Temple. And they wanted to see their son. The mother was saying, oh, looking at her son, you're becoming so skinny. You're not eating properly. My mother used to say that to me. I was eating a lot. And my mother would say, you're still skinny. That's the way mothers think. They always think you need more food, right? Anyway, so, you know, she was kind of nervous seeing him. So, and the father was there. He was very sober. Then again, he made an offer. This time he made it to Prabhupada, not to his son. He said, I'll give you $1 million. Send my son back. Prabhupada looked at the boy. He was there. And he said, well, what do you think? He left it up to him. And he said, Hare Krishna. So he wasn't going to go back. That was Giriraj Swami Maharaj. Yeah, if you know the story. So he had refused. And the second time again, $1 million. So yeah, when devotees have a taste for Krishna consciousness, nothing for the in this world can attract them. We need to get that taste, though. That taste comes by chanting the holy names, by serving the Vaishnavas, and using our time to come and associate with devotees and practice Krishna consciousness. We develop that higher taste. When the higher taste is there, visayan vinivartante niharasya dehinam raso byasya raso pyasya param drisva nivartante, then one can give up the lower taste. What is the lower taste? Any kind of happiness in this material world. Why is material happiness a lower taste? Because it cannot satisfy the soul. It may give some pleasure to the mind temporarily, but then it leaves just as fast as it comes. That's the nature of everything material. It doesn't stay. Whatever you gain in this material world is subject to the time element. And one devotee thinks, well, if I have to work so hard to get so many things and I have to lose it, why even work hard for it? And Prabhupada said, yes, very good boy, now you understood. So if you want to work hard, use whatever you gain for Krishna's service. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Gornitai Ki Jai. So then, yeah. So whatever we have in the material world, we should see. And Krishna says, Maya Dakshena Prapiti Suyate Saracharatara. Everything in this world belongs to me. Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasam Sarvalokesh Maheshwar. Nothing belongs to us. We might think, well, this is mine. This is called Maya. Maya. Because you didn't create it, somehow maybe you adjusted a few things in order to bring it to your possession. But ultimately, everything comes from Krishna, because Krishna is the source of everything. He says that. At Bhumirapanalobayo Kamana Buddhiyavacha Hankar Itiyame Vina Prakriti Astada. The whole world is made out of these eight elements, and they're ultimately coming from Krishna. So whatever we have, it belongs to Krishna. Even the body we have belongs to Krishna, because we didn't create our own body. We were given to us by our parents, but they got their parent body in the same way, so it goes all the way back to the source. So nothing in this world we have. We actually have nothing, zero. But we claim so many things in the meantime, and that's the problem. To have a lot or to have a little, that doesn't really indicate anything. What it means is to whatever you have, use it for the service of the Lord. And then it becomes transcendental. It becomes a source of elevation. It becomes a source of happiness. It pleases Krishna when we use what he gives us for Krishna's service. Manaso deho geho yo kichu mor arpi lun tu alpade nanda kishore. One of the greatest philosophers and transcendentalist authors, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, says, my home, my family, my my possessions, my body, it's yours. It's yours. It belongs to you. And that is the understanding. These things are not some eulogies just to inspire us. It actually is a reality. Because we can't keep anything. We have to leave everything behind at one point. But in the meantime, we're thinking, you know, Janasa Moham Yamaham Ameti. It's mine. It belongs to me. I am like this. Like this is a big war going on. They're all fighting over Krishna's properties. That's all. They die fighting over something that doesn't belong to them in the first place. And then they come back as the enemy. Yeah. They see the enemy in the last part of their life, and then they become the enemy in their next life. Whatever you see at the time of death, that's what you go in your next life. So the material life is just a merry-go-round where people are struggling hard to enjoy something that doesn't belong to them and keep something that they have to lose ultimately. So a devotee knows, hey, let me use whatever Krishna is giving me, my time. If you use your time, Krishna gives you more time. If you use your money, Krishna gives you more money. There's one devotee, he was an entrepreneur, quite wealthy. He had a big business. He joined the Hare Krishna movement. And he started using his finances to support the society, helping with temples and starting projects. And after some time, he actually said it. I even heard him say it. My business increased eightfold. Because Krishna says, oh, you're using it for me? Here's some more. Using it, oh, okay. Because Krishna sees whatever you have, and if you use it for him, he gives you more. If you don't use it for him, then you have to struggle to get more. And you may not even get more. So that's the problem. So Krishna is like that. If you use your time, he gives you more. If you use your intelligence, that also expands. Everything expands in relationship to Krishna. We're trying to do it in the material world. There's so many, what they call it, self-help programs out there. If you do this, your mind will become stronger and then you can get this job. But we don't believe in all of these programs that they create because they're frustrated and they're always trying to find out new ways to enjoy the material energy, either psychological, physiological, anthropological, or whatever logical. More like psychological. Psycho and logical. It's not even logical to be psycho, but anyway. Hare Krishna. That's another thing. You like that one, okay. So yeah, the world is just so messed up. I mean, now they're showing the real, it's becoming really, really dangerous out there and really quite crazy. Of course, the devotees are never in danger because Krishna says that one who takes shelter of me, Kuntiya Pratijani Hiname Bhakta Pranashasi, I give you protection. You don't have to worry about what happens in the material world. As long as you stay connected to me in devotional service, you're free from the effects of this material world. But if we plug into that same environment and we play act according to the same theater that they're in, then we're putting ourselves in very, and what we call it, in difficult situations. Always stay connected to Krishna. And as it says here, externally you might have to play the role, but internally you know who you are, like that. Okay, so these are some things we can think about. And at one point, Raghunath Das Goswami, he played a trick. You'll read it coming up in the... And it just so happens that the pujari didn't show up that day to worship the deity, the family deity. And so the priest came and said to Raghunath Das, can you do something because the pachari is not here? So for in order for him to do that, they had to let him away from his guards. And when he took the opportunity, he left. And when he left, usually he was going through the main roads back to Jagannath Puri to meet Lord Chaitanya, but this time he went through the forest where they couldn't find him. And finally he arrived at Jagannath Puri, and when Sarup Damodar Goswami received him and said to Lord Chaitanya, Raghu has come. He said, okay, that's nice. You keep him with you. And then Lord Chaitanya, then some of his guards, they had come with some money because they knew where he was. Family said, all right, well, now he's with Lord Chaitanya, so let's give him some money. So they brought some money, and he used that money to buy bhoga so he could cook and offer to Lord Chaitanya. And every day, Lord Chaitanya was coming to take the prasadam. And then after some time, it stopped, and Lord Chaitanya said to Sarup Damodar, you know, he's not inviting me anymore. What is he doing? Well, he doesn't want to accept the money from his family anymore. So how's he living? How's he? Well, he's going in front of the Jagannath temple, and he's with a begging bowl. He's begging. Lord Chaitanya said, very good. And then after some time, Lord Chaitanya inquired again from Sarup, what is he doing now? Well, actually, he gave up that because he was thinking, I'm standing there, and I'm like a prostitute. This person came to see me yesterday and gave me some money. Will that person give me some money today? You know, thinking his mind was in duality. Will this person give? That person didn't give. But maybe he'll give today. So he was becoming disturbed with that consciousness. So he thought, no, I'm giving that up. So Lord Chaitanya said, well, how is he eating? How is he living? Well, and Sarup Damodar, never, not very enthusiastically, but told him, there's a place in Jagannath Temple. It's on the south side of the, it's on the south gate where there are cows below the gate. And the old prasadam that they don't sell, they throw it, and it's usually quite stale and old. It's not, you might say it's not edible. But the cows would come and chew on it and eat it. So Raghunath Das was there fighting with the cows to see if he could get something to eat. And he was finding these hard grains, you know, because you see Jagannath prasadam, is that rice, that hard rice. You had that hard rice? It's very nice. So the cows wouldn't even chew that because it was too hard for their teeth. But he was taking that, washing it off, putting a little salt on it, and that's how he was eating. And Lord Chaitanya came, and he said, Raghu, what are you doing? You are having a feast, and you're not inviting me. And he ran towards Raghu and grabbed one of those pieces of rice, and he ate it. Sarup Damodar said, no, it's not for you, my dear Lord. Lord said, I have tasted so many sabjis and puris and curries and so many sweets, but this is the best. Now, was Lord Chaitanya just making some joke or not? What he was saying, he was tasting the bhakti of Raghunath Das Goswami, that he was so well off materially, he gave everything up, even eating practically. And Lord Chaitanya just glorified his bhakti over and over in me. He became an intimate associate of Sarup Damodar Goswami, and him and Sarup Damodar Goswami had very close association with Lord Chaitanya. And the notes that they took later became the basis of the Chaitanya Charitamrita that we are reading from now, because they took extensive notes on Lord Chaitanya's activities. So, and of course, we understood who Raghunath Das Goswami is. He's not an ordinary personality. He has a position in the spiritual world. He's an eternal associate of Srimati Radharani. His name is Rati Manjari, who serves Radharani directly. And you can read about it in Shiva Ram Maharaj's books, talking about Rati Manjari's service to Radharani, who is actually Raghunath Das Goswami, now in his istadev, in his pure spiritual form. So he was such a great soul. So this is the life of Raghunath Das Goswami. And this is our mood. Our mood in Krishna consciousness is Vairagya. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. Although sometimes it is said that Lord Chaitanya's devotees like to eat a lot. There's that one story where, who was it? Ramachandra Puri. What a rascal. He was a personal servant of his spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri. And Madhavendra Puri was on the highest level of bhakti. It says that his bhakti was on the same level as Lord Chaitanya. There was only three people who had the same bhakti. That was Radharani, Lord Chaitanya, and Madhavendra Puri. Yeah, he's a kalpa vriksha tree in the spiritual world. He came. He was actually the param guru of Lord Chaitanya, because his disciple Ishwara Puri was Lord Chaitanya's guru. So, but he had another disciple named Ramachandra Puri. And Ramachandra Puri was doing service to Madhavendra Puri when he was very invalid. He couldn't take care of even his bodily necessities. And so when he was in that state, he was in ecstasy. And he was calling up, crying for Krishna, begging for Krishna's mercy, feeling the separation. He was in such ecstasy. And Ramachandra Puri said, "Hey, Guru Maharaj, you know, just be cool. You know, think of Brahman and be peaceful." His spiritual master looked at him. "You know, if I see your face at the time of death, I don't know what my destination will be." "Get out of here." So he rejected him. And because he rejected him, he lost the mercy of the guru. And then he started to find fault with others. Then he went to the devotees and he saw Lord Chaitanya and the devotees. What he would do with the devotees, he would serve prasadam with the devotees. And the devotees would say, "Oh, that's enough." But he said, "No, eat more, meat more." And then after they would eat more, he said, "Just see, Lord Chaitanya's devotees, they eat too much." He would force them to eat more and then he would criticize them for eating more. And then one day he saw some ants in the place where Lord Chaitanya was, and he said, "He's eating sweets secretly at night. This is Lord Chaitanya, And he was trying to spread these rumors that Lord Chaitanya is secretly eating sweets. Prabhupada says there's ants all over India, you know. And you go to India, you can't get rid of them. They're always there, wherever you are. So, but he was saying, "No, this indicates he's cheating at night." So, and Lord Chaitanya, and then he said also, "He's a sannyasi too, but he eats so much." And Lord Chaitanya took it seriously because he was the godbrother of his spiritual master, and therefore he respected him in that way. So Lord Chaitanya cut his eating in half. And then the devotees were thinking, "We have so much happiness serving Lord Chaitanya's, you know, prasadam. Now we can't serve the Lord like that anymore. And now he's not eating as much as he was. I know he wants to eat more, but now being criticized." So the devotees were praying, "We hope Ramachandra Puri leaves." And he did. And then the devotees were happy and Lord Chaitanya resumed his normal eating like that. So, but Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. So devotees are renounced. We can eat a lot when it's a feast, and when it's a fast day, we dance in ecstasy, right? Everybody agree? Feasting and fasting, Prabhupada said, there's no difference. Because both are in line with bhakti. So devotees can eat mounds of prasadam when it's actually in line with the mood. And sometimes they won't even take a drop of water when it's time for fasting. So that's a devotee. He's not attached. The idea is to become completely detached from everything and only be attached to the service. Attached to the association of devotees, attached to service, and do whatever he can to get that association and therefore lose the association, and not lose, but leave the association of the non-devotees. Because it's not very healthy. The non-devotees have a different way of seeing the world. They see the world as them being the center and the world as their object of enjoyment. We see the world as being belonging to Krishna, and these things in the world are objects for us to serve Krishna. It's completely the opposite consciousness. Okay, so Lord Chaitanya is giving very important instructions to teach that when we're in the realm of dealing with the non-devotees, we may play the game, but the real consciousness is Krishna consciousness within. And therefore, don't forget Krishna. That is the highest form of worship, to always remember Krishna. Satatam kirtayanto man, always remember Krishna. And if you always remember Krishna, you are not part of this world. Even if it's a slight effort to remember Krishna. Of course, the more you remember Krishna, the more you go deeper into that mood of remembrance. But just by remembering Krishna, automatically you're free from the effects of the material world. Prabhupada would say, and maybe you have this experience, you're chanting Hare Krishna and you're walking and you don't even notice, you bang into the bed, right? And you, but there's no pain because you're chanting. But if you were not chanting, you do the same thing. Oh my God, my foot, what happened? Yeah, you've had that experience. I have. Prabhupada said chanting relieves pain. In other words, pain is part of this material world. And if we're always connected to the spiritual energy, we can transcend the effects of this material world. So that's just an example how wonderful it is just to remember Krishna at all times. Material, and of course the real purpose of remembering Krishna is to connect with Krishna and leave this material world. Because what do we have to do in this material world? We're just, Prabhupada said, like, it's a bathroom. That's all it is. You pass stool and urine and you leave. You don't stay in the bathroom and think, oh, I'm going to set up my little shop in the bathroom, put my computer here and kind of like, you know, I'll have my bookshelf in this corner of the bathroom. No, you get out of the place. It's just, so this material world is like a bathroom. Because what are we doing here? We're just wasting time. The reason why we came here is so we can meet the devotees and come to Krishna consciousness, to get out of this place. The purpose of coming here is to get out of it. Really. Yeah, just like you take, if there's a thorn in your foot, you take another thorn and you take that thorn out and you throw both thorns away. So this material world is just a place to get free from that desire to be in this material world. And when we free ourselves from that desire, then we are qualified to go back to where we belong, the spiritual world, where life is eternal, full of knowledge, and there's no Donald Trump either. At least temporarily, anyway. Or there's might be a few others that you don't want to be there either. Anyway, this is our process to get out of this material world and to use our intelligence by using everything in the service of Krishna and not being lured by one of the things of this world. Because the things of this world are simply ephemeral. They come and they go. They can't give real satisfaction. They give temporary relief, just like a person who is an alcoholic. If somehow they're taking some alcohol, and they're getting intoxicating, and they're thinking, you know, I'm happy. But a person who's sober thinks, what an idiot, and the guy's drunk, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing. So everyone in this material world is intoxicated, and what's the disease? Sense gratification. That's the intoxication. So to withdraw from that, and it's, I mean, the withdrawal symptoms can be very severe sometimes. But the antidote, Anechya Sari Maya Nasi Bhari Lagi, Harinama Maha Mantra, Lao Tumi Magi. Asaudi is the medicine. What's that medicine to cure the disease? What is the disease? Bhavaro, material happiness, material life. Chant the holy names, that's the medicine. And not only is the, and you know, the medicine's sweet too. Some medicine's not so sweet, but chanting's sweet. It's very nice. And Prabhupada was asked one time by one reporter, what do you get from chanting, Swamiji? He says, we get chanting from chanting. The more we chant, the more we want to chant. It's like that. You might think, I don't feel like that. Well, give it a chance. If you give it a chance, you get through to the, what we call it, the difficult time. Prabhupada used the example, when you have a disease of jaundice and the cure is sugar cane, the sugar cane is bitter for a jaundice person. That's a disease of the liver. So, but you keep taking the sugar cane and then gradually the cure is working and then the disease is gone and then the sugar cane tastes sweet. So in the same way, keep chanting and then after a while, and keep yourself connected with the association of devotees and devotional service, everything becomes so sweet, so nice. That's Krishna consciousness. It's meant to give eternal happiness, and even while we're in this material world, we can experience unlimited happiness. That's the power of this movement. It's very powerful. Okay, so I'll stop here. Any questions, comments, suggested retractions? Yes, you have a question? Oh, you have a no question. I guess question, no question means everybody believes everything I said, right? Okay. Navadvip Chandra. Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I just wanted to ask about this point that one should externally carry on one's activities, but internally be completely detached and renounced.
But you have to focus inwardly.
Right.
You can't just be there. You have to keep your consciousness on Krishna.
And that seems quite a difficult thing to do.
With practice, it becomes easier and easier. Someone asked Prabhupada, are you always chanting Hare Krishna? Prabhupada said, come. Put your ear on my back. And they could hear the holy name going on inside of Prabhupada. Yeah, I heard that at least 3 or 4 times from different devotees. But Prabhupada was always chanting internally. It was going on within the heart. But we can also practice that within the mind. You can chant silently in your mind and still do your work. What is it? Bengali, Hatte Koro Kaje Mukhi Bolo Huri. Hatte Koro Kaje Mukhi Bolo Huri. Work with your hands, but always chant the holy names. So yeah, and you can do it in a less, you know, in a somewhat of a discreet way, where it's not so obvious if you keep practicing. Because in some places out there, it wouldn't be good. In some places, you can chant loudly. I just heard this one, somebody was telling me this one little boy. He's 5 years old. His father takes him shopping, and he just chants real loudly. He's walking, he's singing, and he's chanting. And everybody's looking at him. He doesn't care. Of course, when you're 5 years old, you know. It's cute. So we can be like a 5-year-old, but not exactly. Yes, Parojana.
I was told the devotee went to a supermarket.
Who did? Devotee went to a supermarket.
There was one devotee, he took his bell and offered all the fruit
Well, the question is, Krishna going to accept that or not? You know, we used to do that on Sankirtan. I would be with my Sankirtan partner, and he'd be out there standing outside the van offering the whole supermarket. I tell him, what are you doing? You have a nice intention, but it's not going to work. Because in that supermarket, there's things you can't offer either. Yeah. Anything else? Any of the ladies? No ladies. Okay. Sopesh? Mm-hmm. Don't listen to the mind. He's saying when we get this in desire to kind of get out of this material world, but then the mind just pushes us back. Don't listen to him. Mm-hmm. I mean, the mind is not you. It's a conditioned element due to our association with matter. The mind is full of various types of thoughts and emotions that come from not only this life, but previous lives. So, Bhaktisiddhanta used to say the mind is a non-devotee. And if you're associating with a non-devotee, So what do you have to do to make your mind a devotee? Preach to him, hey. And what is Raghunath Das Goswami wrote that book, Mana Shiksha, Instructions to the Mind. My dear mind. He would cajole it. He would offer nice respects to it. He would chastise it. In other words, you can talk to your mind. It's going this way. You want to go this way. Say, mind, hey, listen. We're in the same program, so don't get your own ideas. I know what's best, and you know I know what's best. So just follow me, and you'll be happy. And the mind says, I do that every once in a while, but it's no fun. Well, this time it'll be fun. We'll go to Bhaktivedanta Manor and see the deities and have some prasadam and dance and chant. Oh, and the mind says, got it. I'm with you. So the mind, you know, he sometimes he wants to go with you, sometimes he wants to make his own program. So one has, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, one has to elevate himself by the mind and not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. When Prahlad Maharaj was being harassed by his father, and his father was saying, you're always siding with my enemy. Vishnu is my enemy. And Prahlad Maharaj said, my dear father, the only enemy you have is your own mind. And that's a fact. When the mind is favorable, everything is wonderful. When the mind is not, then nothing is. We are the authors of our own destiny, based on how we direct our mind. Direct your mind towards Krishna, or direct your mind on how to serve others. By directing your mind towards service of others, you're always using your mind in the best way, like that. And even in the material world, they did a survey in America to find out what is the happiest people and what is about them that makes them happy. So the survey concluded that the happiest people have two characteristics. They're always active and they're always serving others. Mm-hmm. So you get your mind off your own problems. And you find out your problems are not really any problems anymore. When you make other person's problems your problems and help them overcome their problems, whatever it is, it might be something small or something very big, but if by serving others we actually find satisfaction and happiness. even in the material sense it works, but in the spiritual sense it pleases Krishna very much. To serve Krishna is wonderful, but to serve his devotees is higher. And Krishna even says that. One who says he's my devotee, Krishna is speaking this, one who says he's my devotee is not my devotee, and one who says he's a devotee of my devotee is actually my devotee. And so to become a devotee of Krishna means to serve those who serve Krishna. That's the real position of a devotee. Mm, yeah. So when your mind gives you these thoughts, just put them on the back shelf and tell them, I'll talk to you later. Yeah. And then when later comes, he says, you told me to come back later. I said, yeah, later. And when he comes again, I said, later. In other words, keep postponing the mind's petitions. And then after a while, the mind gets tired. Yeah, but by staying connected to Guru and Shastra, we can fill our mind with how to, you know, direct our consciousness like that. And the easiest and the most fundamental principle is try to remember Krishna always. As best you can. You can practice. And you actually, when you practice, it becomes easy. If you don't practice, it doesn't manifest. It's hard at first because the mind is conditioned, but after some time it becomes more natural to remember Krishna. Practice. I'm not saying I made it. I'm still practicing yet. Like that. Any other questions before we end? Yes, okay. Vrindavanath.
Maharaj, my question is that when we think about Raghunath Das Goswami, he was in such high material opulences, but in spite of that, he had a strong faith on Lord, high degree of renunciation, and in spite of that, Lord mentioned that you wait for some time to have your bhakti more stronger. If I see myself or like this, nowhere like in this life I can think of even part of that bhakti in my heart. So how to really see our possibility? Was that because he was not having a spiritual master at that time formally, or because he was so...
Separation makes the heart go fonder. That's what Lord Chaitanya was also teaching. Yearning for that association brings the mind more connected to the process of bhakti. Separation is stronger than meeting. A hankering, longing to be with Lord Chaitanya, to be with the devotees. Mm-hmm. And when you're outside of the devotees, you also feel like that. But when it becomes intolerable, then the Lord will appear and say, Haribo, you made it. In other words, when we can't withstand that separation anymore, then you're on your way back to Godhead. Raghunath Das Goswami, he writes some prayers. He looks at Govardhan Hill. Excuse me, and he sees just a gaping hole, that's all. Everything he looks at has no meaning anymore. Whatever was there before is no longer there because the separation of Krishna now becomes the longing. And you see everything else as a very poor substitute or no substitute at all. No. You do that also. After some time, I'm warning you, you'll look around, you'll think, Haribo. I used to like all this stuff. Boy, why must have been crazy. Yeah, that means you're making advancement. Scary, isn't it? For some of us. But there is a destination that is much more, what we say, enjoyable than the present, our present situation. We keep our focus on the goal. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you. Okay, I think we're taking up a lot of time. But thank you very much for coming today, and thank you for being here during the Easter weekend. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.